gave up his son so that I could be saved and you could be saved and your family could be saved. For our Bible tells us in John chapter 3 and verse number 16, for God so loved the world, he didn't just love the world, but he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I'm going to tell you what, brother, God gave the greatest gift that he could possibly give, and God had the choice. Yet the Bible says he sent his son and delivered his son so you and I could be saved.
With me all of the way, his goodness stayed close by to meet all my needs. My Lord has taken good care of me. I'm never forsaken, I'm never alone. One day I'm moving to my brand new home. I'm blessed beyond measure, just look close. My Lord has taken good care of me. Well, I'm counting my blessings as I journey along. Good friends, a family, and a place to call home. The church where I worship, the Bible I read. My Lord has taken good care of me. Tempting and he brings up my past. I tell him I'm forgiven and it's buried at last. The bloodshed on Calvary now speaks for me. My Lord has taken good care of me. I'm never forsaken, I'm never alone. One day I'm moving to my brain. Blessed beyond measure, just look close, you'll see. My Lord has taken good care of me. I'm never forsaken, I'm never alone. One day I'm moving to my brand new home. I'm blessed beyond measure, just look close, you'll see. Beyond measure, just look close, you'll see. My Lord has taken good care of me.
Well, good morning. With that song, we welcome you to the Calvary Baptist Church radio broadcast. And we want to say thank you so much for tuning in today. My name is Zach Pope, and I have had the privilege of serving at Calvary Baptist Church over the past 7.5 years on staff there. And one of the ways that I get to serve our church is through the radio broadcast ministry. And it's a joy to be coming to you today by way of radio. We are excited about today's broadcast. We have a great message planned for you today, and we are excited about that. And then, of course, that great song that we just played by the Simpson family entitled My Lord is Taking Good Care of Me. And boy, how true that song is. God has been so, so very good to us. And I just thank the Lord for his provision, for his goodness, for his mercy and grace. God is so good. And if you're listening today and you don't have a relationship with our Lord, today is the day of salvation, friend. And we want to invite you to come to Christ today. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so today could be the day that you are born into the family of God. And so we want to invite you today to put your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. Truly, that's what this broadcast is all about. That's why we are on the air today. We are on 3 different radio stations throughout this region. And the main reason we are on these radio stations is to uplift and magnify the name of Jesus Christ. That's what we are all about. And so if you're listening today and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, We pray that you'd put your faith in him today. And then that way you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, not because of anything you've done, but by putting your faith in what Christ has already done on the cross. Well, again, we welcome you to the Calvary Baptist Church radio broadcast. And we want to just take one moment here and invite you to come and be with us for the services at Calvary Baptist Church. We are thankful for what the Lord is accomplishing in and through the local church today. And we're glad to be a part of that. People are being saved and baptized, and we are excited about what the Lord is doing at Calvary, and we want to invite you to come and join us for the services at Calvary Baptist Church. Now, you probably want to know a little bit about our church, and so we want to give you an opportunity to learn about our church. Visit our website, cbcuniongrove.com, and on our website, you're going to find a lot of helpful information that will get you acquainted with our ministry. And so we invite you to visit our website, cbcuniongrove.com, and that would be great. Well, we want to encourage you to grab your Bibles today and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And our pastor today is going to be preaching a message entitled Thankful for the Theme. And you'll have to just stay tuned and hear what this is all about. It's going to be good, and you're going to enjoy it. And so we hope you'll stay tuned for the remainder of the broadcast. We're going to play another song today by our friends, the Simpson family, entitled You Are My Shepherd. And I hope you enjoy this wonderful song. Thank you for tuning in to the Calvary Baptist Church radio broadcast today.
There is one thing I desire, one thing I seek, to hide in you, abide in you, I'm yours for you to keep. You prepare a table for me, you're my portion and my cup, you are the source of strength, Lord, you will fill me up. You are my shepherd in the wind.
If there's one thought or one idea or one theme, since we're talking about being thankful for the theme, if there's one theme that seems to be predominant in our Bibles, it's the idea or the thought or the theme of sacrifice. And over and over and over again through the pages of the Scripture, we find that sacrifice seems to be a very, very often mentioned theme and statement in the Bible. In fact, as I begin to think about that thought and I begin to study that out a little bit, I realized that only three chapters in and already we find sacrifice. If you start at Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1, only 77 verses later, already we find the Bible mentioning sacrifice. For the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 21, unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And of course the Lord, no doubt those skins came from animals. And animals had to be sacrificed for Adam and Eve to be clothed. The word sacrifice is used 205 times in your Bible, and the word sacrifices is used another 76 times in your Bibles. Can I tell you today why our attitudes and our spirits many times are not what they ought to be? Can I tell you why a lot of times we don't have that sweet spirit that the child of God ought to have? Why we're not pleasant, why we're not kind, why we're not selfless? Can I tell you why that is? Honestly, I believe it's because we begin to take for granted the sacrifice that's been made for us. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. You know what, my dear friend? Thankful people are happy people. Thankful people have a sweet spirit. Thankful people live with an attitude of gratitude. Man, you know what? I'm going to tell you what, my dear friend, if you and I will cultivate an attitude of gratitude, and boy, you know what? When the hard times come and the problems come and the storms come and the valleys come, how many know that, brother, even in the worst days, we have it better off than a lot of people do. And you know what? If you're here this morning, you're able to be here. You're able to drive yourself. You're able to button up your own shirt. You're able to feed your own mouth. I'm going to tell you what, brother, we're blessed. We're so blessed today. We don't know what to do. I'm telling you what, God's been so good to us in America. And I know we say this all the time, but I'm going to tell you what a privilege it is just to have the opportunity to come to the house of God. And how many Christians across the world today in other countries are denied that freedom and don't have that freedom. But thank God we do. In America, we have a Bible to read. We have a home to go home to. We have food to eat. We have clothes to wear. We have shoes on our feet. I'm going to tell you what, my dear friend, we are blessed beyond measure. And truly, He loadeth us down with benefits. And oh, how God's people ought to be grateful for all that God has done. Amen. But we're talking about sacrifice. And I want to go back to that, and I want to talk to you today, all day today, on some things I'm thankful for concerning sacrifice. Number one, and this is as far as we'll get today, I want to say, first of all, I'm thankful for the Father's sacrifice in Christ. I'm thankful for the Father's sacrifice in Christ. Take your Bibles, if you will, this morning, please, and turn to Romans chapter 8. And verse number 32, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 32. And notice what our Bible says there. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 32. Wow, what a heavenly Father we have. What a heavenly Father. He loved us so much that He was willing to give His only Son for us. And I am thankful this morning for the Father's sacrifice in Christ. You say, preacher, I've got problems in my life. Preacher, I'm having some problems at home. Pastor, I'm having some problems on my job. Preacher, I'm having some problems over at the schoolhouse. And Pastor, I'm having some problems with my health right now. And I understand all that. You know what? You don't have to go very far nowadays to find sadness and hurt and problems and turmoil. It's everywhere. It's at the school. It's on the job. It's in church. I mean, it's everywhere you go. But I want to tell you what, brother, in the dark day, even in the dark day, even in the valley day, even in the stormy day, you can back up, brother, and you can just look ahead and say, you know what? I may have some problems and I may have some storms, but thank God, I'm thankful for the sacrifice of the Father in Jesus Christ. I'm a parent. And many of you here this morning that are listening to me are parents as well. And how many know this morning that parental love is a very special love? It really is. I mean, you know what? Even before that little child is born, and you parents know what I'm talking about. And by the way, only parents can know what I'm talking about right now. Even before the baby is born, somehow God has already given us a love for that child. I mean, we've never met it. You may have talked to it, you know, from your wife's belly or something, you know, but you've never met it. You've never held it. You've never cuddled it. You've never fed it a bottle. And but you know what? From the day that you find out that your wife is pregnant and that pregnancy begins to advance and that baby begins to grow and you begin to see that little baby kick, you know, from the womb of your wife and you're not exactly sure what color hair it's going to have. And you're not exactly sure what color eyes it's going to have. And you're not exactly sure how long its little fingers are going to be. But you know what? There's just something about parental love. Before that little baby is ever birthed into the world, God has already given you a tremendous love for that child. How many know this, parents, that you would almost do anything for your children? True, isn't it? They break your heart, you still love them. I mean, they'll do things to disappoint you, and you'll find yourself turning around, trying to help them, trying to bless them. And the world looks on sometimes and the world says, you know what? I wouldn't do that. Well, you know what? The people who say that have probably never had kids. Because there's just a bond. There's a connection between a mother and a child, or a father and a child, that if you've never had a child, you can't understand it. You can't explain it. You can't illustrate it. You can't describe it until you've been there. But there's something about parental love. You would literally take a bullet for your child. Some of you, though, know what it's like to lose a child. My wife and I lost our second child. My wife came and, boy, she told me, announced to me that she was pregnant. And, man, we were so excited. And that pregnancy began to advance. And that little child began to grow in the body of my wife. And as I said just a moment ago, even before the child was born, we already had a love for that little baby. And man, we were already making plans about the nursery and already making plans to prepare for the coming of this little baby. But as God would have it, and I know that His ways are higher than our ways. And God, we know that God knows best. And somebody said that God has the greatest rocking chair in all the world. Amen. And for some reason, don't understand it, but for some reason, God took that second child. And even more traumatic for the man is traumatic for the woman, isn't it? And I, as I was thinking about the message, my mind was just thinking about some of our folk. I thought about Brother Justin, Miss Kristen back there, a little precious girl, and how they lost that little girl. I thought about folks like, I believe Miss Sue lost a child. I thought about folks like Miss Patsy Bird and how even since I've been her pastor, she's lost a child. And how we were blessed and privileged to have a part in that funeral service, a funeral service like I've never been a part of, by the way, ever, probably since then. And folk were saved in that funeral service. But I thought about that. To lose, and there's others here this morning, no doubt, that know what that means to lose a child. But think about this morning. All of those this morning that I mentioned and all of those this morning who could relate to what I'm just talking about, to be quite honest, really none of us had a choice. But can you imagine having a choice? Can you imagine having a choice of giving up your child so another person could live? You understand this morning, church, that that's exactly what God the Father did. He gave up His Son so that I could be saved and you could be saved and your family could be saved. For our Bible tells us in John chapter 3 and verse number 16, for God so loved the world. He didn't just love the world, but He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I'm going to tell you what, brother, God gave the greatest gift that He could possibly give. And God had the choice. Yet the Bible says He sent His Son and delivered His Son so you and I could be saved. Amen. And men have the audacity to say that God is not fair. And they'll say things like this, well, I just can't believe what kind of God would send somebody to hell? And I just want to say real quickly this morning, church, if somebody goes to hell, it ain't because God sent you there. My dear friend, if you're here this morning and you're lost without Christ and you're dying to go to hell, it'll be because you step over the blood of Jesus Christ. He gave his only life, gave his only son. He delivered his only son. He had a choice, but gave his only son. And men say, well, that's not fair that God would send me to him. I don't understand. I can't even understand that. You know what that'd be like? It'd be like, I'll just use Brother Zach as illustration. Brother Zach's our firstborn. And I remember that night that he was born, I think, what, 1:30? 1:32. Why can't babies be born at 9:30 in the morning? Yeah. And let us get some sleep, amen. I mean, you know, 1:32 in the morning after his mom's been in labor for a long, 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 long time. And he's been a problem child ever since. But anyway, I'll never forget Zach was born. There was 32 people. 1:32 a.m., there was 32 people in the hallway that night at Iredell Memorial Hospital. And I remember carrying out that little purple, shriveled up, ugly brother. I'm telling you, man. And no, I carried him out, proud papa, man. I was as proud as I could be. I was just beaming on cloud nine. And man, we walked out in that hallway and we had enough people out there to have a volleyball game. I mean, people everywhere. And boy, they were crying and they were cheering and they were clapping and they were laughing. And God gave us Brother Zach. You know what it'd be like? I thought about this. It'd be like somebody coming to me and saying, you know what, Pastor? I went to the doctor the other day and the doctor told me that my heart is done for. And the heart surgeon told me that I'm going to have a heart transplant. Got to have it. I'm not going to survive if I don't have a heart transplant. I'm not going to survive. Isn't this crazy to even think like this? But I want, just for the sake of illustration, listen to what I'm about to tell you. They said, Preacher, I'm here to ask you. You say you're a pastor and you say you love people so much. And I'm here to ask you, would you be willing to give me Zach's heart? I say, hold on a minute. As far as I know, my son, Brother Zach's healthy, vibrant. He's in the prime of life. Are you telling me, sir, that you is facing death and you that is facing destruction? You are telling me that you'd like me to take my healthy son, who's in the prime of his life? You want me to take his heart out of his body and give his heart to you, who's about to? Is that what you're trying to say? He says, "Yes, sir, Pastor. That's exactly what I'm trying to say." And I say to him, I'll do it. We go to the doctor, the surgeon, and we do all the paperwork and all set up all the logistics. And I explain the story to Brother Zach. And Brother Zach says, Dad, I'll do it. I'll go. I'll give him my heart. Man, they take Zach into the operating room and they do all the pre-op things that they do and get the place all cleaned up, and his mom and I hold his hand and she gives him kisses and we say our goodbyes for the very last time, knowing that when they roll him into that operating room, when he comes back out, he'll have no heart. It's our last time with him. It's our last moments with him. It's the last time that we'll see his face. It's the last time that we'll see his life. And boy, we cry and we sob. And his mother hugs him. And they begin to wheel him back into the operating room. And they begin the surgery. And they open up his chest. And they split that chest apart. And there's that vibrant, healthy heart that's beating and beating and beating and beating. And that surgeon very carefully takes that scalpel and they take that heart out. My wife and I are in the waiting room. My wife has her head in her hands. We can't believe how we could ever do something like this. The surgeon comes out and the surgeon says, Mr. and Ms. Pope, the procedure's done. Your son is dead. But we have a problem. His mother looks up, and I look up, and I say, "What is the problem?" And the surgeon says, "The man who was supposed to have the transplant is refusing the heart." Wait a minute. Wait. Hold on. Let me get this straight. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Oh, 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 oh. Hold on just a minute. You mean to tell me that we offered up our only son and we let you take his heart out of his body? And I mean, we shared our last moments with him alive, and now the very man that he gave his life for is refusing his heart. The doctor says, "Mr. Pope, I'm sorry." I say, "What room's he in? What room number's he in?" Doctor says, "He's down the hallway, a second floor, such and such room." I run down there to the room, and I walk in, and I say to that man, I say, "Sir, I don't understand. I don't understand. You came to me in good faith, and you asked me for the heart of my son, and my wife and I gave our son for you, and I don't understand. I don't understand. Hey, the heart is here. It's ready for you. You can live. You can have a good life. You can go forward." And the man says, "I refuse. I refuse to take the heart." And then as I walk out of the room, he says to me, "And you call yourself a pastor? I can't believe you'd stand there and let me die." And I'm thinking, man, what's wrong with this picture? Are you kidding me? I just gave my son so you could live. And yet you're looking at me and saying that I'm going to let you die. My dear friend, you listen to me and you listen to me well. There will be no excuse when men stand before a holy God and say, "God, you're not fair." And the God of the universe will say, "Let me tell you something. I gave the life of my son to die for you. And if you go to hell, it's because you chose to go to hell." I'm talking about sacrifice. I'll tell you when we get out of sorts. I'll tell you when we get selfish. I'll tell you when we get all about ourselves. When we begin to forget and to take for granted the sacrifice that God made in Jesus Christ.
Well, we trust that you enjoyed today's radio broadcast, and we pray that God has used it especially in your life to encourage you, to challenge you, to convict you, to draw you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, if you're listening today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's our desire that you would come to know Him today as the Savior of your life. Listen, you need a Savior, and I don't say that disrespectfully, because I need a Savior. The Bible says we're all sinners. The Bible says, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We're all sinners. And listen, the Bible says because of our sin, there's a penalty to pay. That penalty is death. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Friend, if you die in your sin, if you die as a sinner, listen, the fact of the matter is the Bible says that hell is our destiny. The Bible says in Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." There's a penalty for sin, and a holy God must judge sin. And hell is that penalty. But there's good news. The second part of that verse says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 5:8 says, "But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And Paul said, "Of whom I am chief." Jesus Christ left heaven, was born in Bethlehem, lived a sinless life, then died on a cross for your sins and for my sins. And he rose again on the third day. We call that the gospel. If you'll accept that by faith today, you can be saved. Would you say something like this? "Dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe that you died for my sins. You rose again on the third day. And I turn from my wicked ways and I accept you as my personal Savior. Please save me today." Friend, if you said that prayer, we believe by faith that Jesus Christ saves you. We hope that you'll let us know about your decision. We're so excited for you. What you need to do now is you need to get plugged into a good local church. We'd like to invite you to Calvary Baptist Church if God would lead you in this direction. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Calvary Baptist Church radio broadcast. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.